Greetings and blessings, everyone. I'm David Bullock Sr., and I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Relationship and Not Religion. State of being, a blessed state of mind. I want to get right into the word, some things I want to show you, some things I want to talk about that on this lovely day today. And I pray everyone is moving in the blessings of God. Let's turn real quickly to the book of Matthew. I want to go to the book of Matthew. I want to jump down to the seventh chapter. And I want to look at the 15th verse. I want to start at the 15th verse. And let's see what that's going to lead us today, because God has shown me some things. And since we're in these last times, people talk about the last days, where we're starting a new year in 2022, I just want to point out some things and help get some clarity in your mind on things that are going on around you. Some of us, we realize it. Some of us, you don't realize it. But let's look real quick at Matthew 7 chapter. I'm going to start on the 15th verse. And it makes this statement. It says this here. He says, "Beware false prophets which come to you as sheep clothed, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." They come to you with one thing, but it's something going on different on the inside. Let's keep going. Matthew 7 chapter, we'll drop down to the 16th verse. It says, "For ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs and thistles?" Verse 17, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Verse 19, "Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit should be hewed down and cast into the fire." Verse 20, "Where therefore by their fruits you shall know them." You should know them by their fruits. A lot of us, we get confused in this realm because we're looking at the seed. And we're not looking at what it's going to produce on the other end of the fruit. And the issue that we run into at these times is that we're looking at the beginning stages of something and not what it's going to look like on the other end. Because the seed may go in now, but it's going to take a season for the fruit to start to produce itself. And when that fruit produces itself, that's when you can look at those words of prophecy that you were given, like we sit here, see, beware of false prophets. That's why the Bible makes a statement, and we said it in an earlier broadcast, that you need to study to show yourself approved. It says, "A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So when these prophecies come to you, they sound good. They even sound ear-tickling. But the Bible talks about how we have to judge the Spirit by the Spirit. I need to know and realize these prophecies that are coming to me. Are they for my embedment? Are they telling me something I already know? Are they coming with something that they're giving me something they can't produce themselves? That's what it says. Beware of false prophets. And those of you we're coming out of the King James Version of the Bible, and those of you when you read this, you notice it's in red letters. So that tells you this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is telling his disciples, he's telling his people, says, "Beware of false prophets, which you shall see as sheep's clothing." They come looking the part. I'm talking about people, that's why you got to study to show yourself approved. You're not proving anything to me, you're not proving anything to your pastor, you're not proving anything to anyone else. So when someone gives you some twisted or false doctrine that almost sounds right, but there's something a little wrong with it. They go a little to the left, a little to the right with it. That's why it says, "Beware sheep to beware false prophets which come to you as sheep clothed." They clothed well, but inwardly they're ravaging wolves. You should know them by their fruits, not by what they do initially, which is planting the seed, but by their fruits. What's going to be left behind when they go? My Bible says, "My God is not an author of confusion." So when God gives you something, it should not be confusing. But these false prophets will give you things, will cause you to question, and cause you to realize there's some confusion being coming in here. Something's not right. Something's just not right. That's what I say, you should know them by their fruits. Verse 17 makes a statement, and it says, even so, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. See, we have to study the word deeper for ourselves. We have to study the prophecies that we get deeper for ourselves, so that we're not hinging our hopes on something that's not God, if that makes sense to anyone. You're not hinging your hope on promises that someone's making you to make you feel good. The Bible makes a statement, Luke chapter 4, and it makes a statement here in verse 4, it says, and Jesus said unto them, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word, but he shall live by every word of God, every word of God. That's why you have to judge the word when it comes to you. If you don't judge it, you're going to fall into a trap. If you don't judge it properly, you're going to fall into a snare. If you don't judge it properly, it's going to cause issues in your life. Now you're going to pray for God to get you out of it. And some of us, pride comes in because we trusted or entrusted in someone who calls themselves or came with the title of some form of man and or woman of God, and it's caused issue in our lives. That's to say, I come to you as sheep clothed, but inwardly, there's something dirty and deep on the inside of them that's coming out and affecting you. Coming out and affecting your life. Coming out and causing you issue. Let's turn over here. Let's go to the book of John. John, the 10th chapter. And I want to jump down to the 10th chapter. And let's jump down to the 25th verse. And the statement is made here. Jesus answered and said unto them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do, that my Father name, that shall bear witness of me. Verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as you say you are. Who? Come on, you got to know the voice of God. Know the voice of God. Just keep going here. Verse 27 here says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We have to know the voice of God. That's not going to happen if you do not have a relationship with God. That's not going to happen if you don't constant communication with God. You take a newborn child, and that newborn child will learn their parents' voice. Don't know their parents' voice well before they get to the age of 2. Well before they get to the age of 1. Within the first 3 to 6 months, they know that voice. That parent knows that child. That parent will know that child, that child's cry, what certain cries mean, because we have they set up a relationship and a bond. So when God starts to speak, you should not have to question, am I hearing the voice of God or not? Because if you have a true relationship with God, you will know his voice. You will know when he's speaking. So you don't fall prey to what we read here in Matthew 7, beware of false prophets. Because if a prophet is truly about peace of God, what they're saying should be coming from the throne room. But if it's not coming from the throne room, you should be able to grasp hold of it. You don't get what I would call itchy ear syndrome. You're out there looking for a word. It's funny, the prophecies that come to you from prophets should already be setting up and confirming what God has already spoken to you. Excuse me. What God has already spoken to you. So it shouldn't be some new revelational thing. You should already know this. It's just being made public. If that's making sense to anybody. Because the reason why it should be made public is because God has already spoken to you in private. You already know his voice because you have a relationship with him. And you're building something with God. You're building something with God. That everything with God is eternal. Everything with the enemy is temporary. Enemy temporary. It's temporary. I can prove it to you. Let's turn real quickly to, I wrote that scripture down so I won't forget it. Luke, the fourth chapter. We'll go back over to Luke, the fourth chapter. Let's drop down a little bit here. Luke, the fourth chapter. I want to show you something here. When the enemy speaks, it's not eternal. It's temporary. And he's giving you something temporary And that's the problem with us. We're always looking for that temporary fix. When God's fix is not temporary, God is not even, what God gives you is not even a fix. What God gives you is going to last through the test of time because God spoke it, and it's not going to fail. He spoke the sun and moon and the stars into existence, and as long as they're hanging up in the sky, His word's not going to fail. He said His word's two things: the yea, which means it's going to happen, and amen, which means to seal it up. It's already done. Okay, let's go. We're in Luke the fourth chapter. Luke the fourth chapter. And in this scripture, we can look back now. I'm going to break something down in that soul. In this scripture, prior to this, Jesus was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And He went there and He fasted and He prayed to get revelation. And I always notice the enemy, and some of us, we probably notice in our own personal lives, when we come out of a good revelational time, the enemy standing right there to cause issue in your life. The enemy will come and snatch what God has put in you. But we can't allow that to happen. And if you have a true relationship with God, the enemy cannot do that. He can only think he can cause issue in your life. But since you have a relationship with God, that issue will not manifest itself in your life. Let's go. I'm going to show you something here in Luke, the fourth chapter. And like I said, this is dealing with Jesus just coming out of the wilderness. He's just coming out of his 40-day fast. And this is what happens here. Let's start on to verse 4. We just read that a few minutes ago. We're going to read it again. Verse 4 says, "And Jesus answered, said unto him, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Verse 5 here, "And the devil, taking him up on high." This is what I love. I love this. The enemy wants to take you somewhere to try to show you something. And if you don't have a proper relationship with God, you'll fall for it every time. It says, "And the devil taking him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said, unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for this I deliver unto you, and to him whomsoever I will give it to." The enemy is trying to give you something that he doesn't know. "I'm going to give you the kingdoms of the world. You can't give me the kingdoms of the world, because I know the King of Kings. So you can't give me the kingdoms of the world." But the piece of this particular piece of scripture that jumped out at me was right here in verse 5. It said, And the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The enemy wants to take you and show you something in a moment, an instant. Where God does not show you a moment in an instant because He's eternal. Let me break it down to you. God stepped out of eternity and slowed down and stepped into time so we can catch up with Him. The enemy is standing in time because he can't keep up with God. And he's going to take a time piece and show it to you and say, "Listen, in this time, this is yours." But my question is, what happens when that time piece is up? And God's trying to move and you're stuck in that one area. Ooh, who got stuck like that? Well, I can give you an example in the Old Testament, Lot's wife. She got stuck in time and started moving forward and in the direction that the man of God was leading her outside of Gomorrah to a place where we can get freedom. She was stuck in time. What do you mean stuck in time? She was stuck in what happened behind her. She was stuck in what she used to be. She was stuck in what things used to do. While time is moving forward, she got stuck in time. A lot of us, we are stuck in our past because we have allowed the enemy to come in to get us stuck in our past. And we've listened to the voices of so many false prophets that only prophesying about the time that you're in right now. They might even prophesy slightly of the time that you're coming, getting ready to go to, but they can't go any further than that. Why? Because they have ill-gotten ways in their heart. We said it right here. They come as sheep, but inwardly they're ravaging wolves. They don't want you to move any further. I don't want you to be stuck in your past. I want you to keep moving forward. The enemy made a statement right here. He said, "I can show you the kingdoms in this moment in time, so you can't show me what the kingdom is going to do tomorrow or the next day. because you want me to get stuck in this moment in time. A lot of us, we're stuck where we are right now. A lot of us, we're stuck in the past, and we feel we can't move forward. But you can move forward if you rekindle and fix the relationship with you and God, because my God is ever moving. Ever moving. He said, my God, he said, the word talks about he changes not. He's saying today, yesterday, today, and forever. And if he keeps moving forward, then why are you standing still? Why are you mourning over something that happened in the past when God said, I got a greater future for you? Why are you letting that old relationship break you down to the point now you can't be able to function? That individual is no longer in your life. Either they walked away, God has turned them away, or they've given up the ghost. It does not make a difference. It's time for you to move forward. It's time for you to move forward. See, because when the enemy can get you in this spot, that's when depression and oppression comes in. Then when those things come in, when you allow those weights to come on you for like when we're talking about depression and oppression, you feel you can't move. I can't function. And this is where the enemy wants you at a point that you can't function and you can't move forward. I tell people, when you get stuck like that, you need to praise your way through. Worship your way out of your mess. Worship your way through. It works. It works. Example, Paul and Silas, when they got put in the prison, when they got put in the area of solitary confinement, they just kept worshiping their way through. We can't do nothing else. Crying about it ain't going to fix it. That word right there is for someone. You're in a predicament and you want to cry your way through. Crying is not going to get you out of it. Come on now. You need to get your eyes fixed back on Christ. You need to get your vision back on Him. Once you start to do that, God will show you that all the great things that are opening up around you that you can't see because you fall into the trap the enemy has here. He said, in a moment of time, I've got you stuck right here. Yes, you were done wrong. Yes, you were done dirty. Yes, the situation happened. Yes, that circumstance happened. That doesn't mean you have to stay in that circumstance. That means you have to stay in that situation. Your current situation is not your final destination. When you look for your final destination, that moves you out of your current situation to take you where God wants you to be. So we have to stop listening to all these people who want to give us these false words of encouragement to keep you right where you're at. Oh, don't worry, baby. It's okay. It'll be better. No. My Bible makes a statement that says, faith without works is dead. So if you believe by faith, things are going to get better. You need to get up and do something to cause that faith to be activated on the inside of you to get you going once you need to go. Glory to God. I love this. You need to shake yourself. The Bible talks about Jesus gives instructions one day to his disciples. He said, I need you to go deliver a word. And after you deliver the word, I want you to shake the dust and leave. And there's a reason why he told me to do that. He gives specific instructions. One of my wise mentors from years ago, used to make the statement. He would say, there's nothing idle written in the book. And in believing that there's nothing idle written in the book, there's a reason why he says shake the dust. Because in the Bible, the word dust represents flesh. What do you mean it represents flesh? Well, back in Genesis, when God created man, he said, I created him from the dust of the earth. I created, I took the dust, and I made that dust into man. That's flesh. So I need to shake the dust off. What dust do you need to shake? The words are speaking over my life that don't mean me any good. That's not the Bible make the statement. It said, God's making a statement. The thoughts I have for you, he talks about the thoughts that you're on Christ's mind. So I need to start moving forward. I need to shake everything off me that's causing me not to move forward. Lord, I don't feel I have the strength to shake it off. I don't feel I have the strength to shake it off. Do like Paul and Silas. When they got stuck in that prison, they were on lockdown, they praised, they worshiped, and in that praise and in that worship, everything came loose. Come on now. Some of us, we need that loosening in our lives. Everything needs to come loose. Right now I speak all the shackles that the enemy has put on you that you have not had the strength to get off. You need to get to a worship right now. You need to get to a praise point right now and get those shackles loosed off of you. See, what I love about Paul and Silas, and all their praying, and all their worshiping, because, you know, we can't do nothing else, so we might as well praise and worship. And all their praying and all their worshiping, all the shackles came off of them. The doors opened up to all the cells. And guess what? Not only did they get free by their praise and worship, but others around them got free through their praise and worship. How many people you think will get free when you start praising your way through? They might not understand, why is he doing this? Why is she doing that? Why are they worshiping and we just got had pink slips? Why are they praising and the house just burned down? Why is this going on? Why? What? They're worshiping through their sickness. No, if they got a high fever, they must be delirious. No, I know the power of my worship. And that's what you have to know, the power of your worship. When you start to worship and praise and pressing your way through, Bible talks about pressing towards the mark of the high calling, not the calling, but high calling. So if you believe you're in the situation that you're in, that you should not be there, then time to praise and press your way through. I challenge you to that. Let's get another scripture here. I challenge you to press and praise your way through. I challenge you to do that. Let's go to the book of Hosea. Hosea, I want to go to the third chapter of Hosea. Glory to God. If we just learn how to praise and get a press in our praise to get through what we need to get through, then God will walk us all the way through these things. Come on now. God will be there on the other side of your praise. I like that. God will be there on the other side of your praise. See, he's not going to join your pity party. No. He's already got a praise party going on, and you need to go ahead and jump on in that thing. And when you jump on into it, then you're going to start to see change start to come. Hosea, I want to go to the third chapter, make sure I got this right here. Hosea, the third chapter. Jesus. Hallelujah. No. Hosea, the fourth chapter. Go to the fourth chapter. Yes. See, there are people, you have to watch yourself, because there are people who like pity parties and want you to join in theirs. I'm not going to join your pity party. I want you to come join my praise party so we can get through these things. I'm giving you knowledge here, because Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed through a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected the knowledge. So I'm going to reject you. This is God saying. You're going to reject the ability to get out of what you're in. Then God's not obligated to help you to get out of what you're in, because you're not showing no effort. In other words, you're enjoying where you're at. I need you not to enjoy that. I'm going to need for you not to enjoy being pulled down and downtrodden. I'm going to need you not to enjoy those things, because God's got greater for you. You just got to get back into a proper relationship with him. You got to start seeking first the kingdom of God, like we said before, and his righteousness. You have to walk away from these false prophets. When you start hearing these words, you know what? Listen to the word. Go home and judge it, okay? Rightly divide the word. Study the word so you can get it within on yourself. So when someone comes to you with a false doctrine and doesn't sound exactly right, you go, that don't sit right in my spirit. And once you get that good, once you get that check in your spirit, now you can go back and check, look at these things. But just because they're walking a certain way, and they're dressed a certain way, and they're carrying a certain way, that doesn't mean that the word they're giving you is from God. That doesn't mean any of those things. I'm trying to give you knowledge. See, my people are destroyed through the lack of knowledge. What's the lack of knowledge? You're not studying the service of the proof. You got to get this for yourself so you cannot be deceived. The Bible talks about in the end times, it says, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived, which means it's not possible. Since I have a relationship, I consider myself as one of the elect of God. I consider myself right there. I'm one of the elect of God. I can't be deceived by the enemy. I refuse to be deceived by the enemy. I don't care if that enemy shows up with one of those priestly collars and the big old crosses. No. I refuse to be deceived. Because anybody can put those clothing on. They can cover all this up. But what's going on the inside, that's why he made the statement. Jesus made the statement, he said, they come as sheep. And it means they want to tear you apart. God didn't design you to get torn up. God did not set you up for failure. God didn't do anything. That's the enemy's job. Enemy job description comes in three areas: to kill, to steal, and destroy. But God said, he says, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That one thing wiped out the three. To have life. That wiped out the kill, steal, and destroy. It's time for us to start to step up. Learn the word for ourselves so we cannot be deceived. So many Christians today, I believe, are being deceived by all these false prophets, all these false teachings, all these twisted teachings. That I know preachers who bring astrology into their messages, who bring witchcraft into their messages. But if we don't study to show ourselves approved, if we don't know the word for ourselves, we fall in the enemy's trap every time. This is going to be my prayer for you today. No, this is going to be my challenge for you today. Okay? Hear me properly. Here's my challenge for you today. Next time someone wants to bring you the word, whether it be in Bible study or Sunday morning, right, take notes. Get into the word for yourself. Start to study these things. Because every word, every dot, every sentence in this book is designed to improve your life. Designed to improve your life. So you need to make sure and be careful on the words that are being spoken over you and study them for yourself. Study for yourself. That's going to be a challenge this week. When you go to church this week, I'm not saying question or judge the man or woman of God, bring the word. No, but study the word for yourself. Because when you stand before the judgment throne and you stand before God, you're standing for yourself. The Bible says to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. It didn't say for someone to work it out for me, and it's not going to work someone else's out. It says work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. You got to get this thing for yourself. You got to know that you know that this word is applicable for me. I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm God's going to shine to show me, and I'm going to recognize all these sheep's the sheep's clothing with the wolves up underneath. I'm going to start to see these things. I'm going to start to recognize them, and God's going to show you how to deal with them. But first, you got to get back into a relationship with Him. Let's go into a word of prayer. My time is almost up here, and I pray this has been a blessing to you. So, Father God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray the seeds that I have sown. And to all my listeners, Lord, they go down deep, and the fruit comes up in a season it needs to come up in. And to be able to take this fruit and pull seeds from that and plant more seeds in the ground and pull up more good fruit. We call everything done. The enemy's under our feet right now. And we're going to forever give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because you do this and so much more. In Jesus' mighty master's name we pray. Amen. Like I said, if this has been a blessing to you, share it out with someone. And until next time, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things.